Okay, Tov, and welcome back to our continuing series of the study of Daf Yomi. We're in Masechet Chagigah, and we have arrived at the second Mishnah, the second Parak, on Daf Tet Vav Amud Aleph at the bottom of the Amud. And this Mishnah requires two introductions, the first one of which is this Mishnah is the oldest recorded dispute that we have in rabbinic literature, and it's a dispute that dates back to the period before the Hasmonean conquest, in other words, at the beginning of the 2nd century BCE, all the way to the turn of the millennium, and that is the time of Hillel and Shammai. And this dispute goes through the Zugot, the pairs of leaders of the Sanhedrin during that period, which includes the Nasi, who's the head of the Sanhedrin, and the Av Beit Din, who is really the second to him. And the second point is that the focus of the Machloket is about the issue of smicha on a korban, putting your hands on a korban, which must be done by an individual when he brings a korban. And the question is doing that on Yom Tov. And so we will see here what the layout of the dispute, but the details of it really are not presented here. We say the reasoning behind the dispute. The concern is as follows. There is a shvut, prohibition on Yom Tov and on Shabbat of rechiva, of riding on an animal. And the question is, how far does that extend? In other words, does it prevent us from doing smicha, which is a form of riding on the animal, because you put your hands down on the head with all of your energy. An underlying piece to this is question of tekef for smicha shchita, and that is, does the smicha have to be immediately before the shchita? In which case, if it's a korban that has to be brought on Yom Tov, then the smicha has to be done on Yom Tov also. Or do we not say tekef for smicha shchita, which means the smicha could have been done the day before, in which case it is then something that, since it could have been done the day before, is not doche Yom Tov. Here we go. Yosef ben Yoezer omer shelo lismoch. Yosef ben Yochanan omer lismoch. They were a pair, and that was a disagreement. Yeshua and Prachy Omer Shalom Yismoch, Taya Bailey Omer Yismoch. Yudha Ben Tabai Omer Shalom Yismoch, Shemen Shetach Omer Yismoch. Shmaya Omer Yismoch, Avtalion Omer Shalom Yismoch. Hillel Menachem Lo Nechleku, so Hillel Menachem, who we have not heard much of, did not disagree about this, but Yatsa Menachem Nichnas Shammai. Menachem left, the Gemara will discuss where he left to. Shammai took his place as the Abbeitin. Shmaya Omer Shalom Yismoch, Hillel Omer Yismoch. Harishonim ayu nesim. According to our Mishnah, the first of each pair listed were the nesim, ushnim lahem avot beit din, and the second in each case was the av beit din. Which means, in the first three disputes, the first in command held lo shelo lismoch, and in the last two disputes, I mean in the later generations, it flipped so that the head of the Sanhedrin said lismoch, and his second said not lismoch. All right, good. Now we'll find that there is a dispute about one of the pairs, the middle pair, Yehuda ben Tabbai and Shimon Shetach. Who was Nasi and who was the Abbeitin? Tan Rabbanan, Shlosha mizugot harishonim shamru shelo lismoch, u'shnai mizugot ha'achronim shamru lismoch. Right, so we have three in the first group that said shelo lismoch, and two in the second group that said lismoch. Harishonim ayu nasiim, shniim lahem avot beitin, ivir Rab Meir. In other words, exactly like our Mishnah presents it, the first three, the first person mentioned in each pair was the Nasi, so the first three said Shalom Lismoch, and the next two, Nasiim, said Lismoch. Chachamim Omrim, they disagree. They said Yehuda ben Tabai Av Beitin Meshem Ben Shatach Nasi. They flipped the middle group, which means, by the way, now, that the Nasi in the last three generations said Lismoch. Now, that's the Machloket. Mantan Elahad Etan Rabbanan, so who could be the author of the following story? Yehuda ben Tabai took an oath, and he said, I killed an Eid Zomem. Now, an Eid Zomem is somebody who testifies with deliberately lying to cause a defendant to be held culpable. And an Eid Zomem is only somebody who other witnesses come and say, how can you testify that you were at that place and saw him kill somebody? At that moment, you were with us somewhere else. Imanu hayita. Now, the halacha is that if the judgment was not executed, then the Eid Zomeim is executed. Right? The Tzedukim held differently. They said the only time that you kill the Eid Zomeim is if he actually was successful in getting the other fellow executed. So Yehuda ben Tavai said, one time I executed an Eid Zomeim, who had evidently testified about a capital crime, seemingly bunch of Tzedukim, and I did it to disprove or discount the Tzedukim, who claim that the Eidim Zomim are not killed until the defendant is killed. In order to discount that, I had him killed. So Shimon Shatach said to him, so he took a similar oath and said, you spilled innocent blood. Because after all, the rule of Eidim Zomim can only be affected when two or all of the Eidim are muzam. In other words, if one of them is treated as, is dealt the blow of imanu ha'yitem, and somebody testifies that they were not at the crime scene because they were with these other witnesses, then the edut falls apart, but they cannot be an eid zomeim until the whole group is muzam. The same thing about getting makot or about paying mamon. They don't get any of the punishments until the whole group is muzam. So now, So Yehuda ben Tavai accepted upon himself that he would never rule except in the presence of Shimon Shatach, sort of to make sure that he would not make such a mistake. So for his entire life, Yehuda ben Tavai would go to the grave of that innocent person that he killed, and he would be weeping, and people would hear his voice. And people thought it was the dead man's voice who was crying out. Amar lahem kolihu. So Yehuda ben Tavai said, it's my voice. And what's the proof? To do shalomachar hu meit ve'en kolo nishma. You should know that the day will come that I'll die and you won't hear his voice anymore. Which should prove the point, except that Amar l'ravacha b'reidu rav l'ravashi, that doesn't prove it. Zemo payuse payse. Maybe the fellow's crying out because Yehuda ben Tavai is still alive. And the minute that Yehuda ben Tavai dies, maybe he had succeeded in appeasing him. Or maybe he took him to Din and Shemaim. In other words, maybe it was the Harug crying out, and with Yehuda ben Tavai's death, the crying stopped. So his claim that you'll see that it was really my voice, because when I die, you won't hear the voice anymore, is not really a proof. In any case, that's a side point. So Maniha, who could be the author? Yemar Pishlamer Meir, if you hold the Trib Meir, who held Shimon ben Shatach was the Nasi. Now I understand how Yehuda ben Tavai could say, I will not be more halacha unless the Shimon Shatach is there, because therefore he's still allowed to be more halacha if Shimon Shatach is there, because he's superior. But if you say the Rabbanan authored this story, the Amru Yehuda ben Tavai Abetim Shimon Shatach Nasi, Yehuda ben Tavai was the second. How can the Av Beit Din pass in the presence of the Nasi? So how could Yehuda ben Tavai have accepted upon himself, I will not pass in halacha except if Shimon Shatach is there. Shimon Shatach is there, he's not allowed to. So that seems to support Rameir's contention. Well, not necessarily. Ma'akiv alav dekamar. What does it mean that Yehuda ben Tavai accepted upon himself that he would not rule except in the presence of Shimon Shatach? Leads to Rufe. In other words, he would not join a psak unless Shimon Shatach was also part of it. I will not even join with other people to rule unless Shimon Shatach is there to make sure I don't make such a mistake. Good. The Mishnah said, Yatzah Menachem and Ichlas Shammai. Menachem left and Shammai came in. Lehechan Yatzah, where did Menachem leave to? Normally not Beit Din doesn't leave except when he dies. By Amar Yatzah L'Tabrut Ra'ah. Yatzah in the sense that he evidently became a Hellenist. Rav Amar Yatzah L'Vodat HaMelech. A little better, that he went and left, the king drafted his services. We have a brighter that says that Menachem left and he went to do work for the king, evidently it was Herod, and 80 pairs of Talmidim went with him, who all dressed in royal garb. Okay, do never treat a shvut lightly. The whole issue about smicha, the oldest machloket we have, is simply because of a shvut. It's a pshita. That's obvious. You shouldn't take a shvut lightly. So shvut mitzvah tzarichah. His point was that you should not take a shvut lightly even when it's preventing you from doing a mitzvah. So hanami pshita. Rabbi Yochanan was saying it so that you should not think that the machloket here was about the nature of smicha itself. In other words, there is a position advocated in Masachet Beitzah that you don't need to do smicha except on a voluntary korban, but not on shalmei chova. And therefore, if somebody brings shalmei chova, they never have to do smicha. One might think that was this machloket here, shelo lismoch and lismoch, not about a shvut on Yom Tov, but any day that you bring korban chagiga, you don't have to do smicha, or you do because it's a chova. Therefore, Yochanan says, no, the machloket here is about the shvut, and it's only about smicha on Yom Tov because of the shvut. Good. Kamash v'lan b'shvut o depli. Amram b'chama, shma min ha-smicha b'chol kocha b'ayin. What can you infer from our Mishnah? That smicha has to be done with all of your energy, not just putting your hands on the animal, but pushing down with all of your power. Why? It's my kavi. If all it is putting your head on the animal, there's nothing problematic about doing that on Yom Tov anyways. So you could do that, nobody would disagree, and everybody in this Mishnah wouldn't exist. It must be that smicha has to be with all of your energy, and that's why the shvut problem exists. Right, so let him do smicha. So we have a challenge to this. Meitabe. So, Dabar b'nei Yisrael, the one pasuk that I have on the page, the selection, beginning of Vayikra, says, Dabar b'nei Yisrael, Ishki, Akrimi, Kem, Korban, Hashem, Ina, Beima, etc. V'samach yadu arosh korbano. So, b'nei Yisrael samachin, v'ein b'no Yisrael samchot. Only the men have to, if a woman brings a korban, she doesn't do smicha. Yosef b'Yishmael omrim, to have Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yishmael who quote a story, they, first of all, say, but not Yisrael Samchot Rishut. They're allowed to do smicha. Rabbi Yossi Sachli Abba Lazar, and to support it up, Rabbi Yossi says, I heard a story from an old man, Abba Lazar. How did I know he's an old man? He's going to tell us a story about the Beit HaMikdash, but Rabbi Yossi lived 100 years later, after the Churban. So he says, Pamachat Hayalanu Egel Shel Zivchei Shlamim. We had a calf that was Shlamim. We brought it to the Ezrat Nashim, samchu alav Nashim, and we allowed the women to put the do smicha. Lo mneishes smicha b'nashim, not because they're obligated, ela kedei lasot nachat ruach l'nashim, but to make them feel better. In other words, let them do it, there's nothing wrong. Now, v'yisag v'dayzach smicha b'chol kocho b'ayinan, and if you think that smicha has to be b'chol kocho, shum nachat ruach l'nashim avdina and avodah b'kodshim, you allow them to do avodah b'kodshim, in other words, to put your hand on an animal, no, that's nothing, but to push down hard, that's avodah b'kodshim. You're not allowed to do that unless there's a chiyuv. If they don't have a chiyuv and you're just doing it to make them feel better, so it must be that smicha, it really is just a light putting your hands, or you don't need to do with all your energy, you can just put your hands on lightly. Elolav shramin alo bayinim b'chol kocho. So you obviously don't require all of your energy. The answer is perhaps the chiyuv of smicha is b'chol kocho, which is why our Mishnah raises the problem regarding the Shvut we have the Machloket. But perhaps with the women, we said, just put your hands on it lightly. That's what we told them to do. Yihachi lo mneshe smicha b'noshim, then the Mishnah should not have said, the story should not have said, not because there's no smicha b'noshim, there's smicha b'noshim, typically no smicha klal. They should have said, not because there's smicha b'noshim, but they should have said, because this wasn't a real smicha. This was a light smicha. Smicha light. Okay. So the answer is Rabbi Ami Chara Biod Kamar. Truth is that both reasons were there. Chara delayed for the smicha klal. First of all, it wasn't real smicha. Second of all, to make him feel better. All right. In other words, it wasn't real smicha. It makes him feel better. Good. Now that's inference number one that we made from the Mishnah, with it is smicha is b'chol kocho. The attempted attack from this story of Abba Lazar is refuted, and saying we allow the woman to do it lightly. Still, we do it b'chol kochom. Amar Papa Shmamina, what else can you infer from the Mishnah? Stadina surin, that when there is a shvut, not to ride on something or to climb up on a tree or whatever it is, that it means all sides of it are asur, because after all, riding on an animal is on its back, and here you're doing smicha on its head. Its head is not the back. So if the shvut does not encompass other areas except where you ride, then putting your hands on the head is not at all part of riding. And therefore, nobody should claim that it's asur. So the fact that they do means stadin asurin, means that any part of the animal is asur, even the head. Because if you think stadin are mutar, then they're doing smicha on the side. So Rav Ashi Amar, no, even if you think that doing the riding or whatever it is on the side is mutar, called the vahari gabah ki gabah dami. Anything that's equal to the plane of the back is like the back. Since the head is equal to the plane of the back, therefore that's considered riding. But to grab onto the leg of the animal or something like that and to push or something of that sort, or to perhaps catch a ride with an animal, a large animal that's walking and hang onto its leg, that would not be part of the shvut necessarily if we held that stadin mutarin, and our Mishnah does not necessarily prove differently. Everybody should have a wonderful day, and we will, Mitzvah Hashem, continue with the next Mishnah, first part of which evokes a Mishnah that we studied in Masachet Beitzah, Chloket Beit Shammai Beit Hillel, about smicha and bringing korban olah on chag, and the resultant piece of how that affects Shavuot, especially when it falls out both either on Shabbat or on Friday or on Shabbat.